Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Thursday, April the 4th, in the year of our Lord 2013, Law and Gospel. I'm your host, Pastor Tom Baker, but with me is my co-host, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed. Did you have a good Easter?
Oh, it was a fantastic Easter. We had probably about double what we normally have on a Sunday.
Wow, so Sunday six weekend. Six people came to church? That's amazing.
I know. We've been averaging about 180 on a weekend. We ended up somewhere right around 360.
Well, I'll tell you, when you first went to that church, it wasn't anywhere near that, those numbers.
No, they were averaging about 130, 140.
I'll tell you, good Lutheran preaching, dividing law and gospel, would you say that makes a difference?
I would say so. I've borrowed many of your concepts and pulled stuff off of your archives. You have some good illustrations, I think, that really are easy for people to understand but have some depth to them, and they really pick up on that.
Well, you know why I'm so good at that?
Yeah, because you're a plagiarist, I know.
I'm a super plagiarist. I borrowed them all from the top theologians that I read and that I listen to and are at our seminaries. But a lot of people are really talking about the History Channel's The Bible. In fact, it's had record audience. And I just want to start off with the last Sunday, of course, was Jesus. They definitely did the resurrection. I was glad to see that.
Yeah, what did you think of that resurrection account?
I had no problem with it. I mean, there are definite, little problems here and there. For example, it doesn't say that the stone was broken in two.
Right.
It was just rolled away from the tomb when Mary came. And there were little odds and ends right there that I would have changed a little bit in order to get in agreement with the scripture. But I'll tell you, that last one, and I didn't realize they would go into the early church as much as they did with
right.
the Apostle Paul. And I felt they did really well on a lot of that. What did you think?
I would agree with you. It still causes me some concerns, in terms of, as I watch it, to the, like you say, the accuracy. Now, I would agree with you on the resurrection. They stayed fairly close to it, but when you look at that, just some of that, you go, I don't know. I think it was. I would agree with you. You talked about it on an earlier show that it's causing those that have never come into contact with the scriptures
right.
to start asking questions. And I think from that aspect, it becomes a good Christian witness. My concern is, okay, once it's shelved and archived and people come back to it, what kind of life does it take on its own?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I was really disappointed in, especially on the fifth night. And that was the advertising.
Why is that? I never caught that.
Yes. They had, I tell you, and these folks were really wise. The one thing they had was Christian Mingle. This is this site if you want to find a Christian person. And I thought about that. And I said, that is really smart. Knowing how many Christians are going to be looking at this movie, and maybe some of them are looking for a spouse. Wow, that was really smart. But you know who's even smarter than that? Is the Roman Catholic Church. They had a wonderful ad on there about coming home.
Right.
And they had a website you could go to and everything. And now do you want to know why I wasn't disappointed? Why I was so disappointed?
Why is that?
Where was Matt Harrison?
With the Lutheran
the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, or somebody. We've got the best understanding of the cross and the resurrection. We're theologians of the cross. And I'll tell you, we really need to be about the business. Now, I'm sure that at the beginning, the number one day, it had more mistakes in it, from my point of view, biblically. That was the Old Testament, though. And so I can understand that people may not want to be affiliated with it, but by the time you hit the fourth week, and Jesus, I was surprised how accurate they were with the scripture. I've got about 20 things that they missed out, but for example, it says the women were afar off during the crucifixion.
Right, and they had them close. In fact, they had one giving them water.
Well, and Mary touching Jesus, and
right.
You know, that Mary, the prostitute, she's in all of the pictures of the disciples, and I did not like that at all, because it's very clear that she wasn't part of the apostles. So I've already talked about this. And darkness was supposed to be over the cross for 3 hours, and it didn't come until almost he died.
Right. Well, you know, part of that, when I watched some of that, it was almost a mirror of the Passion of Christ in the Mel Gibson picture. If you've ever seen the Passion of
Christ.
Yes,
I have.
I thought they just took script out of there and used that.
Yeah, there were some accretions there. For example, it is very clear that the women did not take down the body from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did. And then they actually have the women washing the body in the tomb on Friday. And that didn't occur until Sunday.
That's right.
And when Mary sees Jesus, she doesn't cling to him. So he doesn't say, don't touch me or stop clinging to me. And Peter, when he sees the tomb, his response in the Bible is to go back and hide in the upper room. But instead, he's all happy and he says, is he gone? No, he's back. Which really is odd. And the very same day that Jesus appears to them, there's Thomas, who of course, didn't really occur till a week later.
8 days. It wasn't a week. It was 8 days.
Well, if I'm at church and I say to you, I'll see you next week here at church, I'm not talking about Saturday. Okay.
But they did. Now, the Jews did come to Pilate and say that we want to put a post, a guard.
And none of that was shown at all.
They didn't show it, but no. There was. I thought there was a scene right in there, if I remember right, that they did come to Pilate, and Pilate said, go make it so.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I do.
Okay. Well, I probably was, you know, resting, getting ready for the program here. I really missed that Peter didn't have a vision on the roof before he met Cornelius.
Yes, I thought that was lacking too. I thought that was a key. Yeah, in fact, I was looking at the whole thing in Acts before you called them, in Acts 10 on Cornelius' vision and Peter's vision, and that was all missing.
Yeah, baptism was interesting. When Saul gets baptized by Ananias, he baptizes him in the name of Jesus. And my wife caught that right away. It wasn't in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I was thinking, well, there's evangelicalism. But when the centurion is baptized, he's baptized by Peter into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah, you notice they dunked his head.
Well, right, in a little basin, you know, which is, you know, a lot of people should know that dunking isn't necessary, because what is the symbol of baptism in the early church? You remember?
It was a shell, wasn't it?
That's correct. And you don't need a shell when you're dunking someone.
Well, and of course, you know, we teach that the power of baptism doesn't rest just in the water, it rests in the Word.
Or in the mode of baptism.
Baptism, yeah. It's not how much water you apply. It's the fact that it's connected with God's Word, and God gives the power there.
Yes. A couple of times there was, unfortunately, evangelical theology put in there. Specifically, when they were preaching, they say, open your hearts to Jesus, and you will have everlasting life. As though somebody has the ability, an unbeliever, to open his heart. Paul sure didn't before he became Paul. That was a good example of how all of us are really converted against our will.
That's right.
Now, they said that according to tradition, all the apostles died. And then they say John was poisoned in Rome, but then he recovered from that, went to the island of Patmos, and stayed there the rest of his life. So I've got two questions. Number one, I don't ever remember John being poisoned in Rome. Is that part of a tradition I missed?
I must have missed that, too. I started looking and doing some reading, and I hadn't run across that. I don't, you know, maybe one of them. Maybe we might have to ask the historical department of one of our seminaries, see if they understand.
Well, the other thing is they have John dying on the island of Patmos, and that's not correct. He wrote the book of Revelation, and after he was given his freedom from the island of Patmos, he then wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
John, right.
And then he wrote his gospel. The gospel was his last writing, not...
Right,
you know, ahead of time. So, but having said a number of errors from the biblical point of view, I have to say that I think I could really use this movie to make the main points. Jesus says all the words from the cross appropriately, including "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Right. The fellow that did the that acted for Jesus, you know, was the actor. I caught an interview of him one time already, and he said he cried for a good half hour after he did it. He said he was so moved, you know.
He was really a good Jesus.
Yeah, that's what...
you think? I mean, I looked at all the other disciples. I said, is there any one of them there that could have been? And, of course, none of them were. You know, as good as he was in both his looks, his demeanor. And I was listening to somebody and said, you know, you shouldn't be surprised that every movie about Jesus has these errors, these accretions. But I'll tell you, I saw a movie once that had no errors in it. And you know why? You won't believe this. It was written by a communist.
Really?
And it was called The Gospel According to St. Matthew. And there wasn't a word in the entire film that wasn't straight from the Bible.
Interesting.
The Gospel According to St. Matthew. I saw it at the seminary before I graduated. So we're talking back in early 1970, 71.
Yeah, back in the last century.
Oh, yeah, for you. but at any rate, that was a movie. I know some people criticized it because when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was always walking ahead of them. And I know that bothered some people, but the Bible's pretty clear that they were following him everywhere. So I could understand that when he was talking and walking, that they would be behind him. The other criticism I heard about that is he was just way too humorous there. I mean, he would be laughing at things and such. And I really like that because I think Jesus is one of the best humorous around.
I would think so, too. I think they brought that out. I'd heard that they tried to make him into a more a loving, caring person and not a distant type personality.
Well, remember the words of Paul as he's preaching? He says, he didn't come to me as judge to condemn me. He came instead with love to forgive me. I'm sitting there, and I like to put myself in people's other shoes, and I just can't imagine how angry unbelieving Jews are. Because this film, regardless of the many errors of small points, is definitely use the Old Testament to point to Jesus, definitely use the New Testament things to point back to the Old Testament about Jesus. I mean, they were quoting Old Testament passages such as Jeremiah, etc. And it was just really interesting. I'm all set waiting for people to come out and talk about how anti-Semitic this film is.
I didn't see it as that. I think they
No. You're a Christian.
Oh, okay.
You can't see it as anti-Semitic because it's accurate history.
Right.
And I've never understood how the New Testament is charged with anti-Semitism. Yes, there were Jewish leaders who planned Jesus' death, but Jesus himself was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. Nicodemus
right.
was Jewish. Joseph of Arimathea. They're tremendous Jewish heroes here.
That's right.
Not even talking about, you know, Mary, for example. So how would you use this in a Bible study or a church?
What I plan on doing is getting the DVDs and doing clips.
Yes.
Because as you're studying, you can show the clips themselves, and it takes faith to a different level. I mean, we do that sometimes in our Bible class. I've had some where we never get on the topic that we talked about because something came up during the week.
Yes.
Something that they've seen, and we'll take time to unpack it and go through it. And I think that from that angle, it really has some potential for us to sit down, especially for, as I've talked to my people about how this can be a witness to other people that they know that are nominal Christians or perhaps haven't come to faith, and they can share the faith and help bring them in.
They say it's going to be coming out in Blu-ray, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. Our numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with talking to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I watched the series. I only saw the last two episodes of the series. I just want to see the New Testament part. And I think what they're trying to do is they're doing an interpretation of their impression of the Bible according to the people who wrote the story.
You mean the apostles or
yeah.
the people who wrote the film?
The people who wrote the film.
Yeah, well, obviously.
But I think that they're, I think it's more impressionistic. And like you say, they're taking all these events and kind of jamming them together. And to cover the whole Bible, I was really surprised how they went all the way through to the end of Revelation. So you got to do incredible leapfrogs in that story to get, you know, that done in 4 hours.
Well, they went right from the resurrection to the ascension.
Right.
And there was some preaching to 500 people there, and there was that wonderful scene at the lake where Jesus had food, and boy.
Yeah. The two characters I thought who were the best in terms of acting in that, the first one was the person who played Paul, I thought did an excellent job.
Yeah, I did not like him at the beginning at all.
But you saw the complete transformation of his personality.
Yes, that he did that
yeah,
very
yeah.
well.
And I thought that was extraordinary. And I thought the person who played the high priest, or I guess it was Caiaphas,
yes,
was very good because you could see how careful he was about everything he was trying to do. You know, and it,
yeah, I agree with him. On the other hand, I thought they didn't do Nicodemus too well in that interaction. So, but I would agree with you on the Caiaphas part.
Well,
I know Nicodemus and Peter and a lot of the disciples are just kind of flat characters. They didn't really have
Yes, very good.
Well, a lot of people are expressing their how shall I say praise of Judas. I'm sorry, Satan.
Satan, yes.
But we won't go into that. So
that whole controversy was so silly. I mean, the guy they got to play that part was a Moroccan. If you ever go to Morocco, there are a lot of people who look like that, and so subsequently there are a lot of people who I suppose would look like Obama. So the idea that they plan to do that way and for that purpose was just insane.
No, I don't think they planned it. They said they didn't plan it, but of course they're not in charge.
No. That's true. Well, I didn't get that either until the article came out. You know, I just didn't make that connection. You know.
Yeah, from a theological point of view, he should have looked like Herod with the
right.
massacre of the innocents, the slaughter of the babies, and, you know, marriage is no big deal. So yeah. we're going to be coming into some very interesting times here, depending on which way the Supreme Court rules on this nonsense. But the more persecution the church receives, the faster we grow. So we're in a no-lose situation here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's growing. There's a very large church in China now.
Oh, my. And Madagascar has millions of Lutherans. I mean, it's just really... in fact, they send missionaries to the United States. You know. Brian, let me ask you, and also Pastor Reimnitz, could somebody watch this and come to faith in Jesus Christ? Brian first.
Yes, I think so.
And Pastor Reimnitz?
Yes, there was enough scripture there.
I really agree with that. Yes.
They did John 3:16, I thought, pretty good.
Yeah. I will say, just on a side note about another project, there's a person who's working on doing a movie on the Gospel of John, and they're going to do a word-for-word depiction of the Gospel of John.
Like I was saying, I don't know if you heard me, the communists did the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and that was word-for-word.
Oh, was it? Who did that?
It was a communist. I can't remember his name, but they even showed it at the seminary back in the 70s.
Was it black and white?
I can't recall. Boy.
I'd like to see how they handled doing everything word for word.
Yeah. Obviously the personality is going to come through in this kind of thing. The one thing, like when Jesus was telling the little girl that not one stone would be left on another, and he was kind of taking his finger and putting it into her stomach area, and he was laughing. I don't think Jesus would be laughing talking about the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem.
Yeah, nobody be saying it to a child.
Well, he may, you know, because he would use conversations with various people because he knew others were listening.
So, I know, but I think he was talking to the Pharisees and the priests.
Well, in the Bible he was.
Right.
Okay.
It's hard to depict the solemnity of Christ in the Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was done during the 70s.
Yes.
If you notice that carefully, the director said that he never blinked, the Christ character never blinked in any frame of the film.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do that to make sure that he had that sense of authority about him.
Now I'm going to get a DVD and go watch it.
Well, no. I mean, if it's that easy, I'm just going to stop blinking. Okay, Brian.
Goodbye.
Thank you so very much. And Brian's gone, but Frank is here. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was listening to the Bible on cable.
Yes, sir.
I found how it was progressing through the Bible so quickly that it skipped out on a lot of seemingly things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And kept me from liking it as much as I thought I would. But when I got to the part about Nicodemus and being ordered around by the chief scribes and Pharisees to do something against Jesus, carry out some order or something, I think that they portrayed him in an ill light when I thought that Jesus had made a friend of Nicodemus when he went and seen him. So I would have thought there would have been less interaction with Nicodemus as being used against Jesus in that movie.
In fact, let me share this with you, Frank. part of the thing they had right was it was an emergency meeting of the Supreme Court of Judaism, the Sanhedrin, and there were only not that many people there. All 70 were not there. And most scholars believe that both Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were also members of that court, were absent or not told about the meeting. And so I'm trying to remember, Wes, does it say in the Bible that some voted against him being crucified?
I don't remember that.
No.
I don't remember. I would agree with Frank. I think Frank is.
Yeah.
I agree with the portrayal. Now, Nicodemus did, in the Gospel of John, go up and talk to the priest that we need to give him a chance. And they say, what, you got a problem here, buddy, you know?
Okay.
Are you with him? There is that account in the Gospel of John.
All righty. And both he and Joseph of Arimathea go to the cross to take down the body.
Right. That's in the Gospel of John.
Anything else, Frank? We've got 15 seconds.
I was just thinking what a great movie it was. It kept me entertained, and I wish that they would do it again.
Well, what you would like, and I think all of us would like, instead of just 10 hours, it should be 50 hours. Then you get the whole Bible in.
That's right.
The Old Testament, according to the 1970s, the Bible, whatever, Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes. Okay, well, hey, thank you so very much for calling, and guess what? We're out of time again. Wes, thank you very much. We'll probably have a new subject next week, unless some more things come up about this. When are your worship services this week?
Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 7:45, and 10:15.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and Christ is risen.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That's Pastor Wes Reimnitz. Hope you come to Havana to listen to him preach this week. Until tomorrow, then, open mic. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.